Let's see, it's afternoon. Good afternoon. My name's Cindy Medford, and I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, which includes Alateen. I love alcoholics, and I love AA because what a great party they're having. Have you guys enjoyed yourselves? I'm having a good time as well. My home group is Saturday morning, Northwest Saturday morning early risers in Tucson, Arizona. We meet from 8:30 to 9:30 every Saturday morning. So if you're in town, we'd love you to stop by. And we just finished reading and going through this workbook, Reaching for Personal Freedom. So I found that to be quite amusing that we just finished and now this is the topic. So let me just say, reaching for personal freedom, what a concept. I didn't know what personal freedom was when I got here. You know, I was far from personal freedom. I was so tied up in what somebody else was doing, I didn't have time to think about my personal freedom. So I've been experiencing it a little by little, each day that I live through these concepts in here, or these principles that are in here. The legacies, living the legacies, that's the steps, the traditions, and the concepts of service. I'm going to tell you, share a little bit about my journey in Al-Anon, or how I got here, what happened, as they say, what happened, what it's like today, or I like to refer to it as my path through the legacies. I didn't grow up in active alcoholism, but I think I grew up in active Al-Anonism. I like to say that both my parents were untreated Al-Anons. So I met the alcoholic when I was 15, going on 16. I was in my hot pants at the school dance. I was a lot skinnier than I am today. Drinking was involved. I'll just say that. We married when I was 19 and he was 20. Drinking was part of our lives, but when I got pregnant with our first son, I stopped and he didn't. He took his drinking to the bars. So anger and control became my way of life. I used manipulation, managing, mothering, and martyrdom. You know, the old poor me, the four M's, as our literature talks about. Those were my principles. I thought I could change him, but desperation brought me to Al-Anon back in January of 1988. It was 2 years after our second son was born. He was conceived during a period of sobriety. I went to a beginner's meeting, and then I was invited to the regular meeting after the beginner's meeting. I thought I was like a quick study. They recognized something in me because they invited me to the regular meeting. Nah, they invite everybody to the regular meeting. Anyways, I got my first service position from that first meeting. They were having a convention the next week, and they needed people to call and remind people that they had offered to bring things to the hospitality room. And this lady next to me, she poked me with her elbow and said, "Take one, honey. It'll be good for you. And take this piece of paper and call these three people." I didn't know what a convention was. I didn't know what a hospitality room is. You know, wow, I've come a long way. The second meeting I went to, I met my first sponsor, but it took me 4 months to ask her to be my sponsor. Not highly suggested. I started working the steps with her, and after 8 months in the program, she was an Alateen sponsor, and I became an Alateen sponsor with her. That was before the Alateen requirements were in place. I went to a four-step study meeting on the old Blueprint for Progress, and I became their group representative so I'd have a reason to get out of the house. That was my first reach for personal freedom. And then he went to rehab for me, not for him, so it didn't work. But I found Al-Anon and realized it was for me, not just to support him or to make sure he was going to meetings. My sponsor moved, and I was adopted by what I call my service sponsor. She'd ask me, "What are you doing Tuesday night or Saturday morning or whatever?" And I'd say, "Nothing." And she'd say, "Oh, good, then you can go so-and-so place with me." We went to the assemblies together. We went to shelters. We went to halfway houses. We even went into a psychiatric ward where another friend of ours had been in a psychiatric ward. And she shared that when the lock was locked, when they locked us in, she knew that she was going to be able to get out. And that was progress for her. Then I moved, and I had to find a new sponsor. And I refer to that sponsor as my divorce sponsor. But then she eventually moved on me again, and I had to ask someone else to be my sponsor, and that is the lady who's my sponsor today. And we've studied not only the 12 steps, but the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts of service. We've done it in workshops. We've done it in Arizona. We have what we call ROAS, which is roving area workshops, and at our conventions on panels. And so we're currently working through the concepts in this workbook today. And so back to my story. We went through bankruptcy. We had a truck repossessed. We almost lost our home. We separated for 4 months. And at that time, I went back to school. I earned my AA degree and then a Bachelor of Science in Information Services. And eventually, when I moved to Tucson, I went back and got my master's, my MBA in Technology Management. And that gave me some personal freedom, gave me some financial freedom as well. We moved to Tucson when my sons were about 15, they're 7 years apart, so they were about 15 and 8. And they both started having trouble with drugs and alcohol. Our marriage eventually went downhill, leading to a divorce. And I questioned whether that was freedom or not. Went to an intergroup meeting in our town and ran into somebody else from my workplace. And so she and I started a meeting at work, and that was nice to have somebody to be able to talk about the steps and these principles with. I got into service. I became the corresponding secretary and then the treasurer of intergroup. I was the GR. I had been the GR group rep and district treasurer, alternate district rep back in California where my program started. And then when we moved to Tucson, I became the group representative for what now is my home group. And I also served on a convention committee. And then I went to an election assembly thinking I was just going to show the new GR what her job was. And I sat in the back, second of the back row, and behind me was the past delegate and a regional trustee, which I didn't have any idea what that they were that. But they were very encouraging, and I left as a new area treasurer. And then after that term, you know, my youngest son was still having trouble. My oldest son had moved out of the house, but the youngest one was still giving me trouble, so I thought I'm going to be this perfect single mom and just tell God your plans and he'll laugh and show you what else is going to happen. And so my youngest son was arrested. He was he went through drug court. He ended up in juvenile detention and eventually in juvenile prison. Gave me some freedom. I was free to get back into service again. My oldest son previously had already been arrested for various things from shoplifting to DUI to, you know, he had a loaded gun in his therapist's office. He'd been put in a psychiatric ward instead of a rehab because of the gun. And then my husband had called me at a convention. I was back in California at a convention, and he called to tell me my son had committed suicide in an attempt to get me to come home. That's the disease of alcoholism. He had not. I went upstairs, made a phone call, and confirmed that he indeed, you know, he was in a psychiatric ward. They take your shoelaces from you and your everything. So, all right, so now, you know, fast forward, I'm divorced. I'm living alone. Personal freedom. But I had time to go back to sponsoring Alateen, and I did that. And I went to a meeting. Area officers asked me to train a new treasurer. The treasurer had stepped down, and I'd been the area treasurer. So, of course, they asked me if I would come and show this person how to be the area treasurer. Well, you got to watch out about those officer meetings because I left there as the alternate delegate. Hey. But then I had the honor of representing Arizona as their area delegate and then their chairperson. And then the Arizona Alateen Conventions Al-Anon chair, and I just now finished my term as a 3-year term as an at-large member of the Executive Committee for Real Property Management, which ECRPM is the acronym for the World Service Officer, WSO. And it's been my favorite service position thus far, probably right up there with working with the Alateens, which I continue to do. My service work has taken me all over. I'm here today because of, you know, being of service and knowing that this was even happening. I have friends all over the world. We were sending texts and pictures say hi, or if you're not here, you wish you were here. And I've had the courage to be able to get up in front of people in a room like this and tell my story, attend meetings in other countries. I took the subway in London once to go to a meeting, and I have a friend who she and I are cruise buddies, but then I joined 500 friends on the cruise after the Al-Anon's convention up in Vancouver, and that was a blast. Talk about, you know, personal freedom. To me, cruising is my version of personal freedom. I met my current partner through the U.S. mail 11 years ago. We had the post office worker swap locker keys. I got his package, he got mine, and I returned his to the post office. He opened mine and then looked in the phone book and decided we better return this package to whoever it belonged to. And that was 11 years ago, and we've been together ever since. A few minor ups and downs. He had to do some, at one point he had to go back to Illinois and Pittsburgh to make amends to his children. And within 6 months he was back in Tucson. Unfortunately, my ex-husband was in and out of AA and never quite took. And on Father's Day 2007, he committed suicide. My oldest, and that was thank goodness for our grief and loss book. I was privileged to be part of the literature committee that worked on that book, and it came out the year before this happened, so it was perfect to be able to go back to that book. My oldest son is an electrician. He's divorced, but has given me two grandchildren, Jaden and Caitlin. My youngest son, the one who spent 9 months in juvenile prison, well, he became a correctional officer. And he's also given me two grandchildren, Jason, Haley, and they finally got married this past October. You know, we do things differently in Al-Anon. And today he's helping me fix up and sell houses because I was able to graciously retire 2 years ago from 35 years with the company. So talk about personal freedom. And now I have time to go with my, I was telling somebody before the meeting, I've been five times this year I've been up to Oregon to visit my mom. She's currently trying to fight breast cancer. And my father and I go on an annual trip to Cleveland, so I've been able to go there as well. And now I've been able to come to this party in Atlanta. I think I'm going to have to sleep the rest of the year. But I continue to get out and enjoy life. And I also work with others who want to work the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts of service. And that means I get to work either in this workbook or in some of our other literature. Before this workbook came out, it was How Al-Anon Works, or the 12 tradition, 12 step, 12 and 12, 12 steps, 12 traditions, or The Path to Recovery were the three big choices until this one came out. And this is just so fabulous. I can't say enough about it. In the epilogue of Path to Recovery, it shares, there's a sharing in there that says the steps show me how to love myself, the traditions show me how to love others, and the concepts show me how to love the world that I live in. And I like to say that the steps made me a better person, the traditions made me a better member of a group, and the concepts made me a better member of the world that I live in. So I'm grateful for all three. You know, they talk about the three-legged stool. If you take one leg away, the stool falls over. You need all three. And then I have to share out of the preface in this book. The preface says, the most essential part of this workbook is our personal response to these questions. As we write our answers and participate in this process, we become co-authors of the workbook. Isn't that cool? We can become co-authors of this book. And as we and it goes on to say, as we proceed, this workbook becomes a record of our personal path to recovery, while it also connects us to a fellowship-wide process that we have in common with other Al-Anon members around the world. We hope that this workbook will provide new opportunities to apply the wisdom within Al-Anon's three legacies to the challenges of daily living. When we open ourselves to the spiritual principles in these legacies, we can find abundant possibilities for growth and fulfillment. So that just tells me I have to practice these principles in all my affairs and continue as all these new opportunities that God has a sense of humor and sends into my life that I need to work and use those. So before Al-Anon, I had principles like my way or the highway. It's all about me. Or, I'll do anything so you'll like me. Or, I'm here to help. Let me help. I could take your inventory. I could blame you. And I really practiced those four M's, the managing, mothering, manipulating, and martyrdom. But, you know, today, the Serenity Prayer. We have a saying in our meetings back in Tucson about staying inside our own hula hoop. You know, what's my business is inside of my hula hoop. What's none of my business is outside of my hula hoop. And it's kind of like the Serenity Prayer. I accept the things that I cannot change, which is everything outside of my hula hoop, and the courage to change the things inside my hula hoop, which is me. And then the steps. I've learned, the how Al-Anon works, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness comes with that first step because it's all about change. And I need to be honest about that. The fact that I need to change, have an open mind to some change, and be willing to make the change. And step two, I learned about hope and about faith. I had to redefine my higher power. Today I have a loving God that's in me, around me, always with me. And that is somebody I've learned to trust in step three and surrender my will and my life to. And then I had step by taking my inventory, I found self-awareness, and I had the courage to share it with somebody else in step five and find self-acceptance, readiness and humility in step six and seven, willingness and responsibility in steps 8 and 9, balance in step 10, spiritual awareness in step 11, and gratitude through service in step 12. That's my list. You all have your own list. I think there's many spiritual principles in each of the steps. There's also, in the traditions and the concepts, and everybody should make their own list. And my list has changed. It's changed multiple times over the years. Every time I look at a step, I can apply different things. It depends on what do I need to work on usually. And so I just want to share about some things that I found in going through this workbook. I love it. It's got the sharings from members from the blogs that were on the WSO members website, and it's got questions in there to spark your thought and discussion with your sponsor or sponsee. I've worked at quite a few times now since it came out at the International in Vancouver, and I just want to share some of the gems that I found to be awesome to me. Under step one, it talks about the three C's. I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, I can't control it. But the quote on page 13 says, I was more than willing to surrender this burden of misplaced responsibility. Wow. I definitely needed to change. Step two talks about faith. On page 17, its quote says, there is a God and you are not it. Yeah. Reading about step three on page 19, there's a quote in there that says, solutions to problems, peace of mind, and freedom from despair are only a few of the potential benefits available to us when we apply step three to our lives. And on page 22, it says, I made myself a God box. And when I was early in program, they talked about a God can, because God can. So I have both a God can and a God box. Step nine, there was a quote in there on page 47 that says, the purpose is to free ourselves from feelings of guilt and over-responsibility, not to receive forgiveness from someone else. We need to forgive ourselves to move forward. And on page 50, from the section on focusing on myself, it says, his program was none of my business. Having a sense of entitlement is not attractive, serene, or spiritual. Ooh, that was an awakening for me. Excuse me. In the readings around step 11, it talks on page 56. It says, Al-Anon gives me personal freedom to choose how we communicate with our higher power. So how I pray and meditate is my business, and I don't have to do it any particular way. And on 59, it says, my prayers have changed because my prayers changed me. And that reminded me of the give me, help me, use me, thank you prayers. In the beginning, it was help me, God, help him, God. And if I was helped or he was God, thank you, God, if somebody was helped. Or give me this, give me that. When I was little, I want a pony or whatever. Give me. And if I got, then thank you. And today I don't have to do the gimmies and the help me's. I can just do the use me's and thank you's. So in the tradition section, tradition two, same as step two. There is a God and I'm not it. The quote on 72 says, there is room for growth when there is mutual respect and trust. So being member of a group, I have to have some mutual respect and trust, and it starts with God. Tradition four, there's a quote on page 84 that says, I have personal freedom, but also a responsibility to those around me. So freedom with responsibility equals harmony. I have to consider how my actions affect others. And under tradition nine, on page 105, there's a quote that says, if I do my part and allow others to do theirs, I have the freedom to relax. That was something my shoulders were always tight. I could never relax. Under tradition 11, it talks about attraction rather than promotion. It keeps the focus on me. That comes from page 113. It reminds me of, am I a good example or am I a good bad example? As someone shares in my meetings. Under Tradition 12, there was a quote on page 119 that said, "My sponsor suggested I consider that what I reacted to you, or wait, I said, what I reacted to in you was what I didn't like about me. She suggested that I pay particular attention to the people who upset me." Ooh, I'm not sure if this is one of my favorites. However, if you spot it, you got it, I've been told. And in the concept sections, the concepts just as important in my personal life. Concept one, it says in here the same thing as step two and tradition two. There is a God. You are not him. Must be very important because they said it in all three legacies. That's on page 126. Concept two on page 130 talks about God has delegated to me the administrative and operational duties of my life with free will. That's what gets me in trouble all the time, that free will. And on page 131, letting go freed me. So, yes, I'm free, but who's in charge? You know. Concept three talks about, on page 132, developing mutual trust in one another offers us the dignity and freedom that we all deserve. And on page 133, if I aim for excellence instead of perfection. And I really needed to hear that when I was writing this up because I was always a perfectionist, always shooting for perfection, and I can never be perfect. Once I get to be perfect, I won't be here anymore, and I can't expect others to be perfect as well. So I am going to aim for excellence and not perfection. Concept six, it talks about on page 145, I can ask others to help me. Wow, what a concept. This frees me to do other things I would not have the time to do. My son's back working for me, so I can be here. I'm excited. And on concept 12 includes the warranties, and to me the warranties is this program in a nutshell. But it says on page 168, exercising the spiritual principles of prudence, humility, substantial unanimity, personal responsibility, avoidance of controversy, mutual respect, and equality, we find that indeed our lives can attain a healthy outlook that may have seemed unattainable in the past. To me, that's personal freedom. I have to work on all those still. I have to practice the spiritual principles in all my affairs. So, with the help of my higher power, I can decide what's best for me at any given, as well as any group that I belong to, whether it's Al-Anon or another outside group. And I can use the spiritual principles of personal responsibility, humility, equality, mutual respect, and mutual trust. Concept 9 discusses good personal leadership. The essay by Bill W. and Concept 9 in our service manual is an excellent reading. But it says I must be a good leader of myself. Well, what a concept. Be a good personal leader of me, which throws me back to the steps, in my opinion. I got to go back to the steps and work on being a better me. So I get to start all over again, and the circle continues. And we, you know, for me, I have to repeat the process over and over again because I always forget something. Sitting in rooms, I hear something, and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. So there's always new opportunities for growth, and there's a good opportunity to remember something that I've forgotten. And so when I work with folks that I sponsor in this book, we read it out loud. There's just something about reading the literature out loud. We'll sit in a coffee shop or in somebody's home or something, and we'll read out loud, and then we'll discuss the questions, discuss what we've read, and then answer the questions. And so some of us, the newer members, we work it vertically. We go through the steps, and then we go through the traditions, and then we go through the concepts. But some of us that have done the steps numerous times, we're doing it horizontally. We do step one, tradition one, concept one, and that's kind of what the epilogue in Path to Recovery talks about doing too. So I'll just close by saying I'm a work in progress. I will always be reaching for personal freedom via living the legacies. I'll keep coming back, and I look forward to seeing you again along my journey. I was told if you stay in service, our paths will cross again. So thanks for allowing me to share. How'd I do on time? Good. Hi, everyone. So welcome to Atlanta. I am so glad to be here. I'm really emotional about it. I'm not sure 100% why when I walked into that room at the Congress Center. It took the second day, but when I walked into the room, tears just started
I think of all of us recovering together, I can't imagine a better way to spend my 4th of July. Talk about freedom, you know, freedom from that, all those chains that used to bind me, from not thinking that I had enough, that I didn't know enough, that I don't do enough. These two ladies are some of my favorite new people. My name is Amy Palmer. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm the middle speaker. Cindy, you did a wonderful job, and I know that Carol has quite a few pages that she's she said she could fill the time. So you're going to get what you get with me, guys. I thought about dressing up really special and, you know, fancy. I wore my best jewelry, some of my best jewelry, but it's all about the shoes here in Atlanta because I've done a lot of walking, and ouch, my legs hurt. I am nervous, I have to say. It's a true gift to be willing, and then when they send you the little email and say, okay, you want to do this, you're thinking, no. Nah. But I know that I'm supposed to follow through, and I'm accountable today for whatever I say I'll do. I don't always like it. But I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I have 3 pages of notes, and I can't really read them. I have glasses, but my writing's poor, so... Well, just you get what you get, and I'm really sorry, but from that very first meeting in Al-Anon in Connecticut when I started my program some 24, 25 years ago, I was told I couldn't do this wrong. So that stuck. I was also told those 3 C's that very first meeting. I was an old hippie, and I was in Connecticut, and I went to a 10 a.m. in the morning meeting, and it was some doctors and lawyers' wives. And seriously, guys, in Avon or Simsbury, Connecticut, wherever that was, I think in general, if we just walked the streets, they probably wouldn't have talked to me. You know, they were probably a little scared of me because they were dressed up and I had, you know, split jeans and a broken down car. And they probably would have pretty much just tried to avoid me. But there at that meeting, they welcomed me. They had a greeter that took me outside of the room. I didn't have to hear all the business and all that stuff. I got to hear her own personal story. She looked at me eye to eye, and she told me that those 2 alcoholics that I thought it had to be me, right? I had 2 alcoholics, 2 children by 2 different alcoholics. It was me, right? She told me a different story. She told me about her alcoholic surgeon of a husband, and she told me the 3 C's, that I didn't cause it, that I can't cure it, and I can't control it. Talk about a freedom. There was a huge weight. A complete stranger gave me the right to breathe again and not react, because what I wanted to do was hide. You know, I wanted to just run away. I wanted to say, I'm no good. I'm not worthy. God has punished me. I get it. I understand, God. I made a mistake. I've made lots of mistakes. But she told me it was okay. She told me I didn't cause it, that I can't cure it, and I can't control it. And that was a huge weight, guys, a huge weight. I think, you know, they told me when Joel was in treatment that I had to go to 6 meetings. So I did not have time for you guys. I wanted to do the 6 meetings in that first week, and that's exactly what I did. I went to 6 meetings in a week, and I thought I'd be done. there were some of those same ladies there, and that was kind of interesting. You know, different meetings around the town. And, you know, I think by the 3rd meeting, I might have combed my hair. And, you know, when we hold hands and they say, keep coming back, I thought that was just, they're just being nice to me. But they said it lovingly. Then, like, the 4th meeting, they let me clean up the coffee cups or something. And I thought, I don't know. But they said, Amy, something's different. You're looking better. Keep coming back. You know, they hugged me. They cared. They gave me their phone numbers. They told me that I did not have to go to every fight that I was invited to. Those fights were with me. They really had nothing to do with Joel because I really wasn't talking to him much. That was the internal fight of I'm not good enough. It had to be me. So I stopped that routine in my head, and the freedom started coming a little bit. They also told me that I could start my day over anytime. In about 20 minutes, I was doing that, okay? I'm thinking, God, why didn't I read that book more? And, you know, you just did an excellent job. I love our new literature, but sometimes I get confused with my literature because I have so much. So I just go to whatever I first grab. So to say that I worked that whole personal freedom, I just got that, right? What was that? How many years ago? 2. You know, so, and I'm working laterally. So it's a lot to go through those steps, traditions, and concepts and work and, you know, be active and sponsor new people. And I'm really, I'm a service guru. I love doing service. My friend Janine said, well, I'm speaking on personal freedom, the legacy. You are a legacy. I'm going, yeah, my own mind. But, you know, I've done service from the beginning because they let you. Don't go to the bathroom because they'll volunteer you for something. But what a gift that is. You know, that very first meeting in Connecticut allowed me to chair a meeting. They allowed me to speak. Well, the first thing they asked me to speak on was the four steps. So I stayed up all night and did that book by myself, you know, The Blueprint for Progress. Yes, no, doesn't apply, you know. So, and I was getting ready to make a move that year. So it took me a year to get a sponsor and really start working because I couldn't understand how I could share all of that with someone and then move away from them. I didn't understand about the phone call thing or the email thing because I'm not really tech savvy yet. But so I did wait. But that year, that very first year, I had the pleasure of going to meetings with, not on Monday nights, but I had the pleasure of going to a lot of meetings, probably as many as I wanted to. And I really grew to love Al-Anon. I understood that, you know, something was happening. I received that unconditional love that my grandmother gave me. And she was the only one in my family that gave me that. You know, it was okay no matter what I did. She loved me. You guys did the same. And you were like strangers, but you guys gave me that. So I was starting to heal. And then when I moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, did I say I was from Pittsburgh? I'm Amy Palmer from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I go to a couple meetings a week. I have a couple home groups. Southside Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, all-time favorite. And then Monday night, Crafton. Now it's becoming a real all-time favorite because we moved it from Tuesday to Monday, and that brought in new Alateen kids. So that's really where my love is. I've done a lot of service with that, and I know it's really important to have that mesh of the family. There happens to be an AA meeting at that meeting, so we moved our meeting because we were really a small, little, isolated meeting, and we had a couple kids and a couple Al-Anon, and now we have, I don't know, 14 Alateen kids maybe that would call it their home group, and our Al-Anon group is growing. So I'm very blessed by my two home groups. I do service statewide. I've had a lot of fun. You guys have given me, do you remember this? Anybody there in Pittsburgh in 2008?
Yeah.
And anybody know what these are? These are Alateen warm fuzzies. I have spent years on the couch making these. So you get off the bus at Alateen when you go to the conference in Pennsylvania, and they run over to you, and they give you this warm fuzzy, and they give you a hug, too. And then you can't hold on to it for too long because it's cold and prickly. So you're forced to reach out and give a hug. Pretty cool. I can't imagine my life without, like, fun things. Like, so I had to bring my props. It was like, I have to do this. You know, my journey has been really amazing. For me, personally, I had to let go of what was happening in my home because I had no control. Imagine that. When I realized that I just had to breathe first and not react and ask for help, my journey really started. I didn't understand. You know, I thought that I kind of had that thought that I had done a little too many things that were wrong. So I was really being somewhat punished. I was raised with a punishing God, so I was a little confused about that God thing and that higher power thing. And thankfully, when you go to all kinds of meetings and you sit down next to all kinds of people, you hear things that you need to hear. And I heard about that good, orderly direction. You know, so that's where I took it for many years, was that good, orderly direction. Just keep doing the next right thing. And I've been blessed to be able to incorporate that in my everyday life. And I really live one day at a time, pretty much, because that's about all I can handle. I can't really go too far. I can't go back because there's not changing it. I can learn from that, but I can't really go too far ahead because I'm a little nervous about that. I just know that, you know, I have God on my shoulder, and it's all going to be good. You know, I've handled really big things, and I just keep getting up and keep going. You know, I have been very blessed through this program to have people that love me unconditionally. It's just an amazing gift to me. I have a sponsor that I call. She's been my sponsor maybe for 18 years. I call her not every week, but lately I've been getting called on some stuff, so I've been calling more often. And we're starting to once again work through the steps. I've done step study groups. You know, I've worked this. When you talked about lateral, that's exactly how I'm doing it now, because the traditions and the concepts are through service are have taught me a lot. You know, I cleaned the house, and I do that 10, 11, and 12 daily, so now it's really the traditions and concepts that are key in my life that I understand and hold on to. That daily serenity prayer, you know, before it was God, teach me to trust you, you know, just keep me to, let me help me. Let me learn to trust you, God, that good direction. I wanted a connection with a higher power, and today it's just God, let me do your work. So I do have that connection with a higher power today. That's hugely freedom, you know. That's huge freedom for me. I don't feel that I've been so wrong. I feel that God has given me numerous opportunities to continue to grow, and He does it sometimes at a daily, sometimes at an hourly rate. And as long as I'm able to change that perspective around to that, this may not be what I like, but this is something really good for me. I know eventually something's going to happen, or if it's not good for me, it's going to be good for someone else that it can help. You know, when we first came in, they said to do, give it a year, don't make a decision. And then after that first year, they told us, give it equal time. So that put me like at 18 years of marriage to Joel. Today I can say that I'm heading to 32 years of marriage with my alcoholic. And that's amazing to me. That's really an amazing gift. That's a huge freedom, because I finally understand that, like, he didn't marry me because he had to, or because I was pregnant, or he married me, or we stay together because we love one another. You know, we work this separately, but yet together. We're here together, but, you know, I wasn't sure if Joel should be in this room right now when I'm speaking, because I didn't know if I'd embarrass him or not. Who knows what I'm going to say? You know, and he said, I'm there because you haven't embarrassed me yet. So that's, like, true love, you know? I mean, wow. Well, we'll see. Jury's out. But my spouse has been able to. He had a 10-year dry spell when we first moved to the state of Pennsylvania. I think his thought was that the meetings were a little too godly for him, and I didn't know what to do. You know, it was like we started this path together. We have to continue, but he wasn't willing. But I had to do something, right? So I just kept going to meetings. And I tried all kinds of crazy things to get him to come back to the meetings. But you guys just kept patting me on the back, said, just keep coming back, Amy, it'll work, you know. And so I got busy. I just got really busy in service. And that's been the huge gift. And not only was it a gift to me, but to my family. My children became Alateen members. But it was also a gift to my alcoholic. Because you guys loved him unconditionally, whether I could or not. You guys continue to love Joel. And the service, sometimes the service that I picked up wasn't like an easy thing. Like, this international thing was really big. Like, I wanted a big bridge built to go into the convention center. Well, I can't build a big bridge. So I had to ask my spouse to help me, because he's a builder. Like, so that seemed like a fun thing. And we had an opportunity to do that together, you know, every Sunday for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, we built this bridge. And, you know, through the love of you guys, when Joel did finally come tell me that he drank, he was dry for like 10 years. He let me do things, crazy things, like I was reminiscing. He would let me do things like, we have this thing called Cook Forest that we go to twice a year. And I've been going pretty regular because, you know, it's really important to me. You know, that's part of my recovery. It's like I get there. It's the same time every year, you know, 2 weekends of the year. And, you know, I get there because I get recovery there. So I'm going to go no matter, you know, I try to schedule it in. It's no matter what. I think I've missed it twice in, I don't know, 19 years or so. So, you know, but I'm so silly. I would go on Fridays and set up this tent. And Joel never bought, like, you know, small things. Like, you know, there's two of us, so buy a tent for two. He would buy a tent for 10. So I would go on Friday nights and set up this tent, and Joel would show up on Saturday morning because, you know, he had his own business and he was really busy and, you know, this was really important. So he would come to Cook Forest and he'd say hello to everybody and, you know, spend Saturday night with me. And then he would go home Sunday morning before the tent had to come down. But, you know, I'm just determined Al-Anon person, and I would just keep going, you know, because it was important to me. All these service things are about me. But it's a gift that I've been able to pull him along. the freedom that I have received by you guys allowing me to step up, you know, thank you. Thank you. The unconditional love through these steps, traditions, having that sponsor, having a sisterhood with somebody. I was raised with one sister, but we didn't have a relationship. Recently she retired and we went to Las Vegas together, and I was a little nervous about that. So guess what? I took my sponsor. It worked out really well. Well, not really. My sister didn't really like my sponsor, and my sponsor didn't really like my sister. But it was good for me. The blessings are huge. The blessings are huge. So that grandmother that, it skipped a generation. It was my grandfather that was the alcoholic gambler. You know, and my family, you know, raised me this way, and there's all this dysfunction in this Italian home and this upbringing that I had. And, you know, it took me, I don't know, 20 years. I'm at an adult children conference. I'm not sure why I went, just because some friends asked me to attend, and I went with them. And it was like this big spiritual light bulb. Oh, crap. I was raised by adult children. You know, I don't know why I hadn't thought of that, but I hadn't. So, personal freedom. I mean, I just continue to have opportunity to work through these steps, to apply these traditions in my life. Currently, I have, I'm blessed with one daughter who's almost 30. I have a feeling she might need a seat somewhere else, but I'm okay with that. You know, I know that she's in. You guys have taught me completely to wrap her up and put her in God's hands. She was my Alateen kid. You know, she had some great journeys with us, and I know that she knows exactly where to go. I have a lot of things that I could be consumed by and obsessed by, and Joel will tell you that I probably obsess a little bit, right? A little bit. Because I have these two grandchildren that I'm slightly over-concerned about. But it's okay, because he can call me on it, and I can call my sponsor about it and say I don't really like it. And she can say, well, let's start working on step one again, because her comment to me, I talked to her yesterday on the phone, and I don't think I even told her that I was speaking. Anyway, she said, there's something different in your voice, Amy. I'm not sure what it is, but I think you're getting spiritually filled with where you're at today. And I thought, thank you for understanding that I've been really overtired and trying to fix things. Imagine that. And thank you for, you know, being polite and courteous, telling me that way, that I just need to take time for me and get spiritually filled again. And that's what's happening here at this conference. I don't know if you guys have had experiences where you've found friends that you haven't seen for a while. I walked through and somebody said they recognized me. It must have been this. And I got hugs from people from across the world because they came to that event. And I took time to do that event. The opportunities that you give us in this program are amazing. So don't ever be afraid. This is not what I wanted to do today, guys. You know, I just stayed in the moment, and I know that, you know, the knowledge and what she shared and what she's going to share is going to continue to teach me. You know, so I'm just very grateful for that. And I know that I can't do this wrong. They're right. I can't do this wrong. I can just keep coming back. It can be progress. You know, those concepts, I think it takes us a while to even get to that point, you know, where we understand those. Because you know how sometimes you go to those tradition meetings and everybody goes, traditions. You know, but they're so important now in our lives. Once we've worked through the steps, those traditions and concepts really start making sense to us. And when you start doing service, then they really are helpful to have in your back pocket, because it is principles above personalities. You know, so you may not like me, but you're going to love me in a very special way. And I know that. So I'm at peace with volunteering. Yeah, I could try to do that. You know, so I appreciate the opportunity to try to do this. And I just want to tell you that the big gift that I got at the International, you know, you work really hard and you think you're going to get something, but you have no idea what 10 years of work to a project is going to be. And I just want to share really quickly the gift that I got. So they weren't sure, you know, we did the parade, and they weren't sure, are you going to, everybody in your committee sit on the thing with the parade, or we need two people on the committee, blah, blah, blah. It just went on and on. And finally, it was like, could you just tell me what we need? So we had all the committee names in the hard hat. Because how do you pick two people to be on stage, right? So there's these two people in the committee. One happened to be my husband, and one happened to be my cousin, I call him. He's not really my cousin, but he has the same last name. And I'd always come home and say, Joel, I saw cousin Nick and cousin Joyce. And he'd go, we don't have them. But, okay, well, I saw them, and they've been really an important part of my recovery for, you know, 15, 18 years. I've known them. So anyways, there's only a couple males on the committee, and, you know, we put everybody's name in the hard hat, and son of a gun, if Nick, cousin Nick came to that wood shop every weekend for 3 months and helped us build that bridge, by the way. You know, it was my favorite bridge in Pittsburgh, the 16th Street Bridge. It has big domes and horses, and it was just gorgeous. And we put one of them in the convention center, and we had little bridges all over the place, and we were the bridge builders. So anyways, we put everybody's name in the, you know, maybe it should have been, maybe people would have thought, you know, the chair and the co-chair should sit up there, but no, that's not, you know, we got to give everybody. So who does God pick but Joel and Nick? So what happens for Amy after she's totally exhausted and has nothing left? I get to lead the parade. I get to say hi to all of you guys. And then I get to sit down, like right where you are, for like 45 minutes. You know, and when I'm thinking about this, you know, Joel, my alcoholic, I don't ever remember a formal amends. You know, every once in a while I'm waiting for it. You know, it's going to come. It's going to come. He's going to say, I don't really remember that. Maybe I just missed it. Maybe he did it. The freedom that I got from that moment, and the freedom that it was an amazing gift, because I sat there in that chair and I watched. Joel was the gentleman that helped all the Al-Anon people from all over the world step onto the stage. So in my little pea brain, I'm going, he's making amends to all those Al-Anon people, all those alcoholics that can't or aren't around in those Al-Anon people's lives. To me, he was making a formal amends. And then my cousin Nick, who's helped me in recovery so much, was helping everybody down. That was my gift from the International. You guys couldn't have planned it. You guys might not think that's that big, but it's huge. Every time I think about it, I have chills, and I just can't thank Al-Anon enough for the opportunity to continue to serve. Just being little Amy P, you know, willing. So don't stop, guys. Just if this is your first meeting, please find another one on the log. Don't stop listening, because we have a lot to learn and we have a lot to give each other. So thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Carol M. And I live in how do you do? And I live in Bonita Springs, Florida. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Yes, I am a city girl. Moved to New Jersey, where I met my wonderful husband. I was 15, and he was 17. And it was 1964, and it was New Year's Eve. And we had our first date, and it was fabulous. And I have to be honest, it was the cheapest date I ever went on. We sat under the turnpike in the candy store called Joe Smalls in Jersey City, New Jersey, downtown Jersey City, and yes, we smoked a joint. My first date with that wonderful man. I am still married to that man. We will be married 46 years this September. Yes. And my home group is Al-Anon Serenity Seekers Wednesday Step Study Tradition Concept Meeting, where we study the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. And it's a progressive meeting, and we go the step, the first, right across the board, because that's what we all do now. We go right across the board. Step, we go for the path to recovery. Then we go to the freedom book, the workbook. We do the step. Then we go to the tradition, and we do that all across, and we do it until everyone is satisfied before we move on. And it is something that I'm a very big part of. I love step meetings. I think, I don't know how anybody works a program without going to a step meeting. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But for me, it has always been helpful for me. I am a very big advocate of service, too, because I'm very, very, it's so funny how the ladies, I want to thank you for talking about how, don't go to those business meetings and don't even think about going to the ladies' room. Because when you do come back, I'm going to do that? Okay, yes. Okay, you'll do that. That's good. The first time I got involved in service, it was very, very funny. I had gone to a Wednesday meeting, and when we used to walk up the stairs to this particular place called Friendship Hall, there was always a greeter at the door, and the greeter would hug you, and you would say, oh, come on in. And at that time, we smoked. You put the ashtrays out, and you'd set up the room, and they'd bring coffee and cake, sometimes food. And that's the first meeting that I literally went to. And it was a Wednesday night meeting, and it was great, and I loved it. And they asked me to be the chairperson. And I said, I'm only in the group for 3-4 months. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be the chairperson of anything. I don't know what to do. So I went home, and they said, oh, it's easy. Just follow the format. It's easy. I went home, and I studied the format, and I came back the next week, and I was so nervous. And the lady that was the greeter said to me, come early. Come about 15 minutes early, and you will give you the insight on how to be the chairperson. So I was so excited. I'm going to do the topic. I'm going to be the chairperson. I'm so nervous. I get there 15 minutes early, and I get there, and she goes, oh, it's so nice to see you, Carol. It's nice that you're coming back. Okay, you can set up the chairs. I was the chairperson. I set up the chairs for the meeting. That was my first service. I was the chairperson. I'm very excited about that. Very, very excited about being the chairperson. And I'll tell you, the one thing that I do love, I am so grateful that we do have these guidelines. We have guidelines, and I love it. I have 36 things to be the guidelines for me to be healthy. 36 things to do. I come from a very long line of alcoholics. Now I'm going to tell you, my grandmother was one of 27 children. I have a huge Italian family, huge Italian family. That's just my mother's side. I have been so affected by the disease of alcoholism. It's gone from generation to generation to generation until somebody says, I don't want to do this anymore. And that would be my sister. My little sister went into her recovery first in Al-Anon, and she did a horrible thing to me. She did. She said to everybody in the Al-Anon meeting, you have to pray for my sister. She's very sick. That would be me. She's very, very sick, she said. We have to pray for her. We have to pray that she can come into Al-Anon and she can get better because her husband is such a drunk. Now, I want to tell you, my family business was a bar, so I'm very comfortable around drunks. I ate dinner with them every night. They sat at the bar like this, and my father set up a table in the middle of the saloon there, and the four children and mommy and daddy ate dinner every night with the drunks. You see, I'm very comfortable around drunks. There's 150,000 of my family members that have been affected by those 27 children that my grandmother came from. That is how large and how those tentacles come out and how we're all affected by the disease of alcoholism. And that is where I come from. I know it. I came to these rooms when I was 38 years old. Give or take the first 10 years, I pretty much had to do what my parents told me. So I'm going to give myself 28 years to see if Al-Anon is for me. Okay? Now, I just celebrated 27 years, April Fool's Day. Next year, if I'm still here and you're all here, I'll let you know if I'm going to stay in Al-Anon. I'll let you know. That's how long I'm going to give myself to unlearn everything I learned for the first 38 years of my life. And it was very, very important to me that I give myself time. I love it that we give ourselves time. This program is a wonderful program for people who want it, not for people who need it. We know that. We know that, and I've seen them come and go over the years. And it's wonderful to say that the concept of service was a very, very big part of my recovery and reaching for personal freedom. I always forget the name of that book, but I have to remember it. I worked that workbook, and I've worked it over the years, the past 2 years. As soon as we got it, we started incorporating it with our meeting. And the most wonderful thing that I've found is I am still married to that alcoholic. And I will tell you, yesterday, 27 years ago, I drove him to the rehab. 27 years ago, I drove him to the rehab, and he celebrated 27 years sober yesterday. So when we come to the conventions, and they usually have them, around the 4th of July, we always celebrate our days in Al-Anon and in AA. And it's very comforting to know that no matter where we go, there's 3 million of us there. There must be someone that I can relate to. There must be someone that I can speak to. And I just love being part of a great fellowship. This particular topic is very near and dear to me because of these concepts of service. I set up a business for myself. And I learned how to do all these things. My first thing in service, like I said, I was the chairperson. And it was wonderful to be the chairperson. And then it was very, very enlightening. And I like to share that little bit of the part of it. But I do the 12-step shuffle. I am a retired dancer. Can you tell? Yes, I am. I've been in the entertainment business. My children were in the entertainment business. And I love a good crowd. And the first time I went to speak, I said to my sponsor, oh, I can speak in front of anybody. I can do anything. I can do this. I love The Wizard of Oz, so they hired me to do the entertainment. And I wrote The Wonderful World of Al-Anon. Yes, I did. I wrote The Wonderful World of Al-Anon. And in that Wonderful World of Al-Anon, Dorothy was the controller. The Tin Man, he had no feelings. He had no heart. The courage to change was the lion. And we all know that the scarecrow had no brains. He had no brains because he had no direction in life. And the higher power was the wizard. And it was the Wonderful World of Al-Anon. And I've done that at many conventions. And I am proud. I am proud and I do care a lot for this program and this fellowship. I think it's a wonderful world to a wonderful way to live. And it helped me tremendously throughout the years. My particular situation is this. I became an Alateen sponsor because what they did to one of the groups that I went to on Monday, they took these children and they marched them downstairs to the Al-Anon meeting. And they said, if there's nobody here, we can't have a meeting. There were 30 little children. And the one place that I went to, it was in Metuchen in New Jersey, there was an Alateen meeting for younger children from 10 to 13. And then there was another Alateen meeting from 14 to 19. And we had about 30 to 60 kids that came in these particular rooms. And we had an Al-Anon meeting. There was a non-smoking meeting and a smoking meeting because we used to separate. And then there was an AA meeting there also. And they marched these kids down in front of that Al-Anon meeting. And I was in the non-smoking meeting. And they said, we can't have a meeting if we have no sponsor. And it was before you had to go for background checks and everything like that. And I had somebody poke me. It was my sponsor. And she said, you could do that. You like kids. You could do that. I said, get out of here. I can't be an Al-Anon sponsor. I'm going to mess these kids up. She said, you can't mess them any more up than what they already are. No matter what you say, you cannot damage these children. They're already damaged. And I said, oh, yes, that's true. So that's how I became an Al-Anon sponsor. I was an Al-Anon sponsor for 2 years. It was wonderful. It was very, very wonderful because my daughter entered to Alateen. She was part of Alateen. My son didn't want to be part of this recovery life. He didn't want to do this because this is what happened. My husband ran away from home one day. He ran away from home in February. Now, February to me is, I call it fear of February. He ran away from home and he left me $258,000 in debt with two children. Now, we lived in New Jersey at the time, and he went to Atlantic City, and he lived under the boardwalk. And that's what he did. We owned two houses and a business. You see, I'm a chocolatier. When I became a retired dancer, I went to school and learned how to make candy. I was a chocolatier, and I made candy, and that's what I did. And he ran away from home, and he stayed away for a while. And my sister said to me, because I told you, for 7 months she's been praying for you terrible Al-Anon people to help me get my life back together again, and it's all your fault that I'm still here. And she said, if your husband is not out on a drunken binge, she said to me, she picked up the ODAP book and that little blue book, and she said, I will eat this book. And I put my hands on my hip, and I said to her, well, let me tell you something. I'm going to go to that stupid meeting, and I'm going to watch you eat that book. Well, I ate that book and the next book and the book after that. I don't read books, I eat them. So I made that book out of chocolate and I stuffed it with peanut butter. And the two of us ate that ODAP book and it was delicious. It was delicious. It was the best book I ever ate. It was good. That was my start, particularly in Al-Anon. And I became I was an information service rep, and I could do that. Yeah, sure, I could do that. I became an alternate GR. I became a GR. I became an alternate DR. I became a DR. I was just moving up the ladder. In the meantime, my daughter, we found out, alcoholic, drug addict, anorexic, and bulimic. I remember thinking, what are we going to do with this kid? And she was in Alateen at the time, and it was a wonderful thing for her to be in Alateen because it shows them the path to recovery. It doesn't matter what path they take, but maybe by having that little bit of recovery in the family, maybe it will pass over. Most likely it won't, because I've watched over the years a lot of the kids in Alateen do enter into AA, but at least they know where to go. So that was with my daughter. She became the Alateen coordinator for the Eastern Seaboard for World Service Office. And she was very, very successful with all the Alateens, with the conferences. And I've been chaperones at conferences, the Alateen conferences up in New Jersey. I sat on convention committees. I hosted the Al-Anon convention in Naples, Florida. We had it right on the beach. It was the year 2000. It was fabulous. I loved it. But the years that I spent doing Alateen was the years that I spent, I call it the years I spent in the penitentiary. Yes, I did. I took a meeting to the penitentiary. I took a beginner's meeting into the penitentiary in Edna Mahan up in Clinton, New Jersey. And I went in there and I said, I'm going to bring these ladies an Al-Anon meeting. I'm going to help them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Boy, did they show me a few things. Woo! Have you ever been in the penitentiary? Well, it's so nice because you can leave. And that is the one concept that I remember that I used over and over and over again. I needed the help of all the groups, and that's what I did. I organized all the groups. So we each group took a six-week slot, and then each group would go up to the penitentiary, and we would do these beginners meetings for these wonderful ladies that needed it. The population was about 600, and I took it for a year into the minimum facility. And it worked out really well that they asked me to go into maximum. Now, I went into the maximum facility, and it was a little bit different than the minimum facility because they had the catwalks with the machine guns. I mean, you know, this is how it was. This was a penitentiary. These ladies weren't there because they were selling Girl Scout cookies. Let me tell you, they were not there for that. It's not for everybody, but what it did was it helped me so much with institutions in town committee. And then I was very fortunate to be asked to sit in with the World Service Office and help write the pamphlet Homeward Bound, to what it's like when the people come out of institutions. Now, this meeting that I had gone to with the Al-Anon meeting, it was what? Excuse me. Let me take a drink. I'm a little dry. It was one of the oldest AA meetings that they had. And it was Lois and Bill that had gone up to Clinton, to Edna Mahan, to start this meeting. And it was at the time, this was over 20 years ago, they were celebrating their 55 years. The television there, they were giving out certificates. I said, what's going on here? This is an anonymous fellowship. Those ladies were the biggest ladies I have ever seen. And my nickname was called Lilibets. That's what they called me, Lilibets, because I was tiny. I'm a tiny little lady. And they would stand in the beginning of the hallway and wait to get a hug from Lilibets. So I said to them, when you film, the whole thing was being filmed. It was a giant anniversary. They came from all over to be at this meeting. I said, please film me the back of my head. And all my ladies were sitting in the front. There was like 30 of them. And I said, when they announce my name, I want you to scream so loud that nobody's going to hear who I am. And they were more than happy to do that. They just love to scream and yell. And that was such a rewarding thing for me to do, was to bring meetings into the prison. And it was so wonderful to see, because a couple of them got out from the minimum facility and they came to our Jersey Al-Anon convention that following year. And it was so nice. And to this day, every once in a while, I'll get a text, or every once in a while, I'll hear they're still out there, they're still carrying the message, and they're still with Al-Anon. And it is very, very enlightening to know that the message does get carried. And it was because I stepped up to the plate and tried to do some service. And I'm just going to be so wonderful. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. They teach me, and they taught me how to be spiritual. They had more names for the higher power than I have ever heard in my life. It was really, really something. They called the higher power their goddess. They called it this. They called it Allah. They called it Abba. They called it whatever they wanted. But they taught me what it was like to be really, really powerless. And I learned a lot from those ladies. But you can't do that all the time. So those 2 years I spent in the penitentiary, I call it, it was very, very enlightening. My daughter did go into recovery. Her dad took her to her first AA meeting. And he also took her to her first NA meeting, because sometimes we have other addictions. And it does come. It runs in the family. Like I said, I have a very big family out there. This particular situation, the legacies I found for me was so enlightening. By all the service that I've ever done, when I moved to Florida, I moved out of New Jersey about 20 years ago, and I came down to Florida and I said, the first thing I need to do, I was the alternate delegate in New Jersey. They give you a contact person. So I had my contact down in Florida, in Naples, and they were very happy to have me, and it was wonderful, and it was great. And then I found out that there was something that you could do to get paid for. And I said, well, what is that? I went to my husband was working for the transportation companies down there in Naples. And he said, do you know what you do in Al-Anon, how you do conventions and you greet people and you have business meetings and you talk to hotels and you do all this? He said, you could get paid for that. I said, really? I could get paid for doing what I did for volunteer? And when I went to the transportation companies, I brought my Al-Anon with me. I worked with a whole bunch of drunks, I'll tell you. And they were fun. They were a lot of fun. But I brought my Al-Anon with me, and I started a business. I became a professional greeter. Hi, welcome to Georgia. Hi, welcome to Florida. Hi, welcome to Las Vegas. Hi, welcome to Tampa. Welcome to everywhere you want to go. I worked in the airports. I worked. They paid me to go fishing, swimming. They paid me to go shopping. I was a professional greeter. That's what I learned in Al-Anon, how to be a professional greeter. It was fabulous. It was fabulous. And that's how I got to know a lot of people throughout the state of Florida. And I owe it all to this program, to this fellowship. They taught me how to have that business meeting, how to be a greeter, how to do all kinds of things, how to be social. And I always was a social person, but Al-Anon enhanced that in me. It took that defect of obsessing and brought it to an asset of obsessing over recovery. And that's what I did. I obsessed over a lot of recovery in my life. And I think it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Like I said, my husband and I will be celebrating 46 years of marriage, and it is not easy. In the times that we've been married, we've broken up 5 times throughout our marriage. I'll tell you, 3 of them was in sobriety, because I knew how to work the system when it came to drinking. I knew how to work the system when it came to manipulating, but I did not how to work the system when it came to having a healthy relationship. One of the ladies talked about minding your business and sitting in your own hula hoop. Well, I knew that if I stepped out of that hula hoop, that I could make some room and stuff some more people in that hula hoop, because there was lots of room around the hula hoop. So I went to the store and I bought a pair of underwear, 2 sizes too small. And I put them on and I said, that's going to be my hula hoop. If I can't stuff those people in my underwear, I am not going to be in their business. I will not be in their business. I learned how to say, oh, 5,000 different ways. Ma, they shut off my electric. Oh. Ma, I can't pay the rent. Oh. And when my mother would call me, she'd tell me all about the family, and she would carry on and yak away and yak-a-da-gak-gak-gak-gak about this one, that one, and the other one. And I learned how to say, oh, 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 oh. Wow, yeah, oh, just acknowledge that, but say nothing. And my mother would hang up and say, that's the best conversation I ever had with you. All I said was, oh, 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 yeah, oh, yeah. Ma, I'm in jail. Oh, that's not good. but at least I knew where he was. My son went to jail when he was 19 years old. I will tell you, thank God he had a theatrical background. He pretended he was studying to be a priest. And he went into that jail. He went into jail not because he drank, not because he got a DUI, no armed robbery, no nothing. He went to jail because he forgot to pay a parking ticket. Talk about procrastination. That parking ticket went to his suspended license, suspended registration. So the boy who goes to jail, goes to court and lies to the judge. Now, you don't lie to the judge. You can lie to anybody, but don't lie to the judge. Because I knew my boy was a liar. I remember in high school, the teacher said to me, "Do you know your son lies?" I said, "Yes, I do. I don't believe a word the boy says." The teacher, she just looked at me. She said, you know he's a liar." I said, "Yes. I told you he's a liar. I don't believe a word he says." She said, "He gave me a bum check." I said, "I told you not to take a check from him. I wouldn't take a check from him." That boy went to jail because he lied to the court. 7 contempt of court charges. $2,100 in a fine. They took him out of his house. He didn't call me because you don't call mom when you're going to jail because mom's not going to bail you out. You could call anybody, but don't call mom because she's not bailing you out. Mom has Al-Anon. She knows when you're bailing people out, it's not working. true story. He went to jail. They dragged him out of his house. Now, this is the family that goes to Alateen, AA, and Al-Anon. The only one that wasn't going was my son. Now he's in jail. He's in jail, okay? We have a little family meeting. In that little family meeting, we had just saved $3,000 to go on a cruise. We were going on vacation. And my husband, with the guilt, "We got to get him an attorney. We got to take that money, cancel the vacation, and this is what we're going to do." He's telling us what we're going to do. We're not going to do anything. We're just having a conversation. We're going to have our first group conscious meeting. Okay, we're having a group conscious meeting. The guilt is all over the place with him. He wants to fix this. He has to fix this boy because he's not a drinker and he didn't get arrested. He just was all over a parking ticket. I said, "It's 7 contempt of court charges." I didn't know whether to smack the kid or hug him. I didn't know what to do. And then I said, "Well, Al-Anon teaches me that I'm not supposed to be really interfering, and I'm giving the Al-Anon crap, and he's not having any part of it." And my daughter, you want to talk about out of the mouths of babes? Alateen works her program, does whatever she's supposed to do, sits up and says, I didn't go to jail. I want to go on vacation. I want to go to Disney. I want to go on a cruise. I didn't lie to the judge. Why do I have to be punished because of him? Well, he stayed in jail. We went on that cruise. When we came back, the boy was very angry. He was angry at us for 5 years. He would not talk to this family for 5 years. And then when my husband was celebrating his 6th anniversary, he showed up. He showed up at the anniversary. And we gave him a cigarette lighter that said "One Day at a Time" on it. So he got the message. We detached from that boy for 5 years and let him just do whatever he needed to do. He went back to college and he stayed and he did what he was supposed to do. And I found out later on that he went to adult child meetings of alcoholics. And he just, eventually he came around. And it was wonderful. It really, really was wonderful. And yes, we were the wonderful family. There was a joke in my husband's family. They used to call him Mr. Wonderful because Frank was just wonderful. That's his name. And he does give me permission to say his name. He was just wonderful throughout his family. And if he was Mr. Wonderful, then I was Mrs. Wonderful. And we had the 2 wonderful children. That's what we had. That was our life, and that's pretty much how it was. So we were just wonderful. We would speak. We would do this. We would do that. We were just a great, great thing. We just did all that things, spoken at, calling at conferences. We did conferences together, and Tony and Carol and Frank. And then tragedy. We always have tragedy. My son got very, very sick. He developed juvenile diabetes. And juvenile diabetes is a killer because he developed it at a very older age. He was 26 years old when he developed juvenile diabetes. It was so far in advance, there was nothing that they could do. And he died. He died from that terrible, terrible disease. It was awful. But the one thing that Al-Anon did do for us was before he died, he said, Ma, Dad, he lived with us for about 8 months. And he said, I'm telling you, Ma, don't put stupid makeup on my face. Don't put me in that coffin. He said, and don't make people slobber all over me. I don't want nobody kissing me, he said, when I'm dead. He said, this is what I want you to do. He was a very talented tenor. He also produced My Name is Bill W. for the Circle Playhouse in New Jersey. He was very talented. He was a gifted tenor. He studied with Cheryl Mills, he took him on as a prodigy student. He was supposed to be in Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, but he got too sick and he couldn't go. And when he died, he said, this is what I want. I want you to cremate me, and I'm going to get to Broadway sooner or later. He said, so spread my ashes on Broadway. He said, I want to be right in front of Beauty and the Beast. So naturally, that's what I did. There were over 500 people at his memorial service, and most of them were from the program. And it was so nice because that's the way we started his memorial service. It was so funny because my family was totally lost. My sister eventually did not come to Al-Anon anymore, and my brother-in-law went back out drinking, and they were not part of it. And the only ones that were in program was me, my daughter, and my husband. So when we started his memorial service, it was so enlightening because it was, some of you know this and some of you don't. Would you please join me in a moment of silence? And most of the people in the room went dead silence, and my family didn't know what to do. They're just looking around. And we had a wonderful memorial service where everybody got up and told all funny stories about what he had done over the years. And then we took his ashes to Broadway. And you're not supposed to do that. It's against the law. We took his urn, and we went to Broadway, and me and my husband got out, and we spread his ashes on Broadway. And we were crying on Broadway in the middle of New York City. And we run into each other's arms, and we're holding each other. And then we got out. We were crying so hard at the car. And this girl turned around. She goes, oh, look, Charlie, a Hallmark moment. She goes, I said, that's a higher power thing. We came back into the car laughing because that's just what my son would have wanted. And it was a real, real good memorial service for him. Al-Anon has taught me how to live in the world that I live in. It has taught me to be part of life. No matter what happens, life goes on, and this too shall pass. And that's just the way it is. Now, here we are, 27 years later, at this wonderful convention, and it is fabulous. And I will tell you, my daughter now is divorced from her husband, and she has developed an autoimmune disease. Here we go again. She was just 40 years old. The difference is she knows where to go. She goes to her meetings. She is a big part in Al-Anon. She still goes to AA. She is 23 years sober. And now she has an autoimmune disease, a little bit different from her brother. And she said to me, I don't choose to die today. I will get better. Once she got divorced, she said, I will get better. And we found the perfect doctor for her, and she is doing very, very well. And that is what Al-Anon has done for us. I don't work the program hard like I used to. I live it. That's the way I live. This is my life. These 36 steps, the traditions and the concepts show me how to live in this world. And I thank you so much for listening.